Carefree Charlotte. That's what everyone knew her by. For 30 years, she was the most cheerful, happy woman you'd ever know. She even made part of her living as a comedy writer. But shortly after her 30th birthday, that all changed forever. What Charlotte didn't know at the time is that she would spend the next 50 years of her life in a bed. The doctors didn't know what was wrong with her. Every hour was filled with pain. She was overpowered with weakness, and there was not one day that she lived without exhaustion. She hated God and cursed him for making her a prisoner to her own bed. One evening, a few years after she got sick, her father invited a minister over to their house to cheer her up. He talked of peace and joy, on and on. Finally, she couldn't take it anymore. She exploded with anger and lashed out at the minister, her family, and God. He immediately saw right through Charlotte and said, "You have become tired of yourself. You're holding on to hate and anger, becoming sour, bitter, and resentful." She was immediately broken and convicted by his words. Charlotte begged to know this peace and joy he spoke of. The evangelist smiled and said, "Come as you are to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Bring your fears, hate, temper, and pride, and he will give you love and peace in their place." That was the day Charlotte claimed to go from utter despair to saving faith in Jesus Christ. She never recovered her health and spent the rest of her life confined to her home in bed. But Charlotte's heart was transformed, enabling her to find true joy and praise her Creator despite her physical suffering. Carefree Charlotte began writing hymns about this wonderful love she came to know. She wrote over 150 songs, later published as the Invalid's Hymn Book. Charlotte is best known as the writer of Just As I Am, which she called her spiritual autobiography. Little did she know, as she told her story in song, that it would become the theme song for Billy Graham and be used to call millions to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Just As I Am is a declaration of joy in the midst of suffering, confidence in the midst of doubt, and salvation just as we are.
That was The Rebel's Guide to Joy, featuring Charlotte Elliott. And I need to thank Brenda Potts for sharing on Facebook about Charlotte Elliott. I, believe it or not, had never heard of Charlotte Elliott before that post. And I was so inspired by what she shared that I've done some additional research. And that, I pray, will humble and amaze you and allow us all to put our own personal challenges into a more meaningful, eternal context. Now, a little bit about Charlotte. She was actually born in the 18th century. Am I saying that right? Yes, at the end of the 18th century, March 18th, 1789. And she died September 22nd, 1871, in the 19th century. So, in about 1819, as you saw from that video, everything changed at about the age of 30. We really don't know from what she describes and what we see. Looks a lot like MS that I know a little thing or two about. But MS wasn't even identified as a disease, I don't believe, until the 20th century. 100 years after she passed away. But also, note that she would spend the next 50 plus years living with her disability in a culture that, suffice to say, and we will see, was far, far from disability friendly. And we're going to see shortly that being disabled, like I just said, nothing being disabled in the 19th century was nothing like it is today. So I pray today's message is going to leave you humbled and amazed and oh, so thankful. So if you would please, whoever has the honor of changing the slides, we need to now have a slide up with a passage of scripture on it from Isaiah. And this is Isaiah 43:2-3. And I like the King James Version. Nothing like the KJV, right? And it reads, "When thou passeth through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Amazing. I was actually reading this verse as a part of my daily Bible reading. Just this weekend, it leapt out at me. And I confess, you know, I tend to keep going back to my tried and true verses. But thanks to our Bible reset, remember last week, reset with Bob Sorge, we are learning to branch out. Amen. And actively seeking a way to expand our horizons with what fresh new insights God has for me and for you as well. So I hope you all have taken that to heart. And I know many of us really identify with this verse, and we totally feel like we're drowning, or that we just lost everything in a fire. But I encourage you to allow yourself to see God's blessing in a new light. So let's tie this scripture back to the opening video with a closer look at disability in the 19th century. You know, to help us truly appreciate just how truly blessed we are by comparison. Amen. All right. I took a lot of this from a site that I have the link noted there. But suffice to say, in the 19th century, we're talking 1800s. If you were disabled, and now that's a very politically correct 21st century term, by the way. If you were crippled back then, your options were few indeed. Either you were cared for at home, like Charlotte was, by a family member if you were so fortunate, or you went to one of two places. You went to an asylum, or you went to a workhouse. And I have that slide. Hopefully you have changed the slide to be disability in the 19th century, if I have forgotten. Forgive me. But suffice to say, there were no nursing homes and there were no rehab centers back in the day. At the beginning of the 19th century, a few hundred people were living in 9 small charitable asylums. By 1900, more than 100,000 idiots and lunatics, that's what they were called, were in 120 county pauper asylums. A further 10,000 were in workhouses. This happened largely because society now thought that giving financial relief to people in their own homes would only encourage laziness. And we can't have that, right? The truly destitute would be helped, but only in the workhouse, where no one wanted to stay for long. Society simply did not understand the impact that this would have on the disabled and the mentally ill. So true, in fact, there was a new class of medical professional called the alienist, later known as the psychiatrist, and at first alienist believed asylums were peaceful places where patients could be restored by moral treatment. But unfortunately, by the end of the century, they had lost their therapeutic optimism and believed that most patients were incurable. The asylums contained chronic and dangerous cases, and most of the inmates never left. So, peeps, please, realize, let's put this in context. This was not so very long ago in the scheme of things. If you became disabled, your choices were simply bad or worse. There were no government programs. Unless you had a family, you were simply abandoned by and large, which is tragic. It's simply tragic. But thankfully for Charlotte, she was allowed other options. So what we're going to do now, we're going to wrap up this study with some parting thoughts on Charlotte's influence down through the ages, which quite simply cannot be overstated. Let us now change the slide. And I wanted to share with you, you should see a picture of a stadium. I will explain what that is in a moment. But this is the takeaway of her influence. Eliot wrote about 150 hymns, many poems, some of which were printed anonymously with Just As I Am, probably the best known. Dr. Billy Graham wrote that his team used this hymn in almost every one of their crusades, since it in fact presented the strongest possible biblical basis for the call of Christ. The historian of hymnody, Kenneth Osbeck, wrote that Just As I Am had, quote, touched more hearts and influenced more people for Christ than any other song ever written. And that includes me. This is a picture of the stadium where I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior way back in the day, in the summer of 1972, at Cleveland Stadium. Yes, little did I know that song that was playing would become so significant in time to me. Now, later years in her death, she was a member of the Church of England, and in later years, when she was not able to attend public worship, something I know a little about, she wrote, quote, "My Bible is my church. It is always open, and there is my high priest ever waiting to receive me. There I have my confessional, my thanksgiving, my psalm of praise, and a congregation of whom the world is not worthy, of prophets and apostles and martyrs and confessors. In short, all I can ever want, I find there." So, peeps, precious peeps, as we wrap up today, I just want us to be reminded how truly blessed we are. I know it's easy to lose sight that in the scheme of things, in your condition, whatever it is that you're dealing with, you can't possibly see how the Lord could use you to do anything. You can't even sometimes take care of yourself. But look what he did. He did this way, way long ago and far away. He did it then, and he can do it today, and he can do it in the future. So I want us to be encouraged all over again that he is faithful. He has not forgotten us. No. And he yet has a plan and a purpose, each and every one of us here. And for that, Lord, we are eternally grateful. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the encouragement that you give us. But it's not for us to keep to ourselves. It's for us to share, to lift up others. And Lord, we're so thankful to have this little congregation that gets it. You know, we might get lost in a bigger congregation, but praise God, we're in this little intimate setting amongst friends and family, and we are so extremely blessed to be reminded yet again just how faithful you are. And we praise you and we thank you that you have accepted us just as we are. And for that, Lord, we are indeed eternally grateful. In the holy name of Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior, we thank you. Amen.